Okay, good morning, everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is your opportunity to be as prepared as we can do for today's trading opportunities. Good to be back. We were abroad there for a couple of weeks, so continuing to broadcast, of course, but now we're back to our office again, so we'll be able to broadcast a little bit more like normal. So good for you to join us. Hope you're all keeping well. You had a good weekend. Now, regarding these markets, a fascinating market dynamic for a whole variety of reasons. If we just extrapolate the political backdrop, we've got this lack of clarity from the electorates. Certainly, as far as the French economy is concerned, with the first round, seems to be a bit more of a protest vote, where Marie Le Pen, far right, secured victory in the first round of voting. The second round of voting, the far left looks like they've topped the polls and will be tasked with putting together a government, which they're going to find quite difficult. And now there's an expectation that the market themselves, that we might get some sort of hung parliament and of this kind of leftist coalition being put together. So I suppose it just shows the fragility really of the electorates themselves and their decision making. It's a little bit more coherent in the UK, of course, with a resounding victory for Labour. All of these governments have got real significant problems, and the markets are paying attention very, very carefully and will and perhaps won't allow certain moves depending on policy that's going to be coming down the tracks. We've already seen and experienced what happened to Liz Truss with her, let's say, policies that weren't necessarily priced in to any great extent. There was a massive market reaction to what Liz Truss was suggesting. So the warning is there for these governments to try to make sure they don't fall into the same trap. And the markets are very likely to keep things on track to a certain degree, if that's the right terminology. It probably isn't. So politically, and then of course we've got the US election with Joe Biden clearly suffering from dementia, and somehow being still front and center, even though there's some expecting that he will step aside. It doesn't look like now over the weekend that he is looking to do that. So yeah, the circus continues really. So politically, a bit of change in the pipeline. There's certainly we've got a leftist government in the UK, a leftist government in France, a leftist government in Italy. And these are all economies with high debt burdens as well. So the fiscal room, I guess, is fairly limited. So what will they do in order to generate more income and have more money to spend? Will they tax more? And these are all the things that markets will be looking very carefully at. Okay, so we'll start, of course, with our risk warning. Good morning, everyone. Good to have you with us. Please see a risk warning currently up on screen. Thanks, David. It's good to be back. So all profitable traders, they need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. Where do we then enter and exit these markets? How do we manage risk? Trade management. Last week was a difficult week for us, just because we had expectations for markets to move in potentially the opposite direction to what they did. So if you're looking for some selling opportunities, we kept grinding higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. Looking for that rollover to the downside. Now we've got a couple of opportunities setting up this morning. Now trades are quite difficult whether you're buying or selling at the minute, as you can probably imagine, with the amount of consolidation and indecision in these markets is pretty significant. And we just have this AI rally. We have a drastically overpriced equity market in the US. And it's continuing to make new highs all the time. And then psychology as well. What's the psychology behind this market? Is it pure greed? where there's a lot of money still piling in, expecting prices to be higher. And as we know from Warren Buffett, when the markets are greedy, you should be fearful. When markets are fearful, you should probably be greedy. That's obviously if you have the means in which to do that. Now, we adjust the considerations every day in our live trade rooms, of course, and we're strong advocates, of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. Okay, so let's start, as we always do, with just a very quick review of some of the major market moves. Now, yesterday, of course, we had the French election. We've got this far left victory. And you know, what sort of coalition are we going to see for the French economy? So we certainly would anticipate that that would have a net negative on the euro, on the on European equities, although not necessarily explosive moves. As we've already seen, we've seen a very kind of subdued moves so far. But I just want to take you back to Friday's non-farm payroll numbers. And we, almost the circus continues, because we've still got these non-farm payroll numbers where the employment change number is a really strong jobs number. So again, more jobs added than what was expected. To the tune of 15,000 jobs. But what we keep seeing, and these numbers are continuing to come in above expectations, as I'll just show you now. Broadly speaking, if you look at the last 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 months, you can see that overwhelming numbers to the upside above expectations. And yet what we've seen is the unemployment rate actually tick higher. So, you know, there's every expectation that this should be ticking lower rather than ticking higher. Now, we've already heard from the Fed, and they regard the 4.2 as a sign that, you know, the US economy would be moving into recession, and they would probably like to preempt potential, because high rates is a double-edged sword. It has the ability to bring down inflation, but it also has the ability to absolutely sort of destroy the marketplace and make the US economy rapidly move into recession. So it's a careful balancing act. It's probably the best way to describe it. But I mean, if this was 100,000 jobs added, you could certainly say that this number makes an awful lot of sense. And the problem is, we've had the unemployment rate ticking higher when we've had, as you've just seen, the non-farm employment change numbers come in much, much higher than expected. So the strange world of US jobs continue. And this brings in a lot of questions about, you know, trust in the actual numbers themselves and the way the Department of Labor stats, you know, produce their numbers and the revisions that they put into play. So today now, from a news perspective, nothing of any major concern. We'll be hearing from Jerome Powell. We've got 2 days of testimony now from Jerome Powell. Which, you know, will be important. He will be grilled to some extent. I'm sure there's going to be some sound bites coming out of that. Ironically, his testimony is the day before US CPI numbers. And we're expecting further improvements on the CPI side of things. Year-on-year headline, 3.1. And we'll see if this number comes down in line with those expectations. Again, last week, Jerome Powell suggested that, you know, they are comfortable that the US economy is going back to 2%, but suggested it would be over a longer time frame. So in the meantime, that does mean higher for longer, but that is something that the markets are completely and utterly kind of disregarding and ignoring. and then PPI on Friday. So again, another important week. It's looking, it's pretty flat, isn't it, month on month, but certainly higher than the previous month. The concern is if the Fed obviously lower rates, that we'll see a reemergence of US inflation. That's the, that would be the devastating move, because you might get a 25 basis point rate cut, but you might need to start hiking rates once more if that's the actual net outcome. So where are we at with these markets? Is a really good question. Well, nothing but upside across the US indices. Elsewhere, there's certain elements that we would be quite eager to take a look at. I suppose the obvious ones just currently on screen would be crude oil. We've been looking for opportunities to start selling crude oil, and we've now got that opportunity around the $82 level. So we want to take a close look at that. And then the euro and the pound. During times of difficult sort of political turmoil, you'd often expect to see the dollar strengthen. You'd expect to see kind of a more of a risk-off market dynamic with yields ticking higher, which we do have yields ticking higher. The dollar begin to strengthen and the equities perhaps soften a little bit. And last week, we had the complete opposite of that narrative. So the opportunities still remain to see sort of lower high and to try to see that type of move. We've got a strong resistance up here in the pound dollar. And also with the CAC as well, looking for that to at least roll over back inside this little range. And do we get an opportunity to start selling gold? Last week, we had a really strong rally. We had a lot of this political weakness, and we've seen the dollar sell off quite significantly. So is there a short-term move there for gold? I mean, Friday's move would suggest no, but there's still what I could do with gold on the right-hand side here is to just put in this upper level. So that's what we're looking at. So let's go in and we'll pick out a couple of these trades and we'll see if an opportunity exists. I suppose just focusing on the euro just for a second, there's something that's just worth noting, is that if I just show you the hourly time frame. If we go back to the beginning of last week, of course, we've got this this dynamic where we gapped higher. Similar gap yesterday, or last night, should I say, on the open. This time we gapped higher. We gapped higher. And this time we gapped lower. But what you often get is a closing of the gap. So prices rallied and they came back to close that gap. Same thing happened here where prices, we gapped and then we've rallied back into resistance. So now we're going to be watching carefully to see if we get some sort of little breakout of this level in here. So our bias, believe it or not, would still be a little bit more bearish for the euro dollar. And of course, if markets prices move against you in markets, which they did all last week, it does present you with an opportunity to start selling at much, much higher prices. And that's really where we find ourselves. So, I mean, it is what's happening for the eurozone. Is it a reason to actually be really positive? The euro sort of political gridlock and political uncertainty. Not really. We probably expected to have a little bit more of a downside impact, perhaps, on our decision making. So let's take this off. So is there anything for us to really make a decision on the S&P? Well, if you want to buy a massively overvalued stock, or so global indice market, then the S&P is the one that keeps on giving, along, of course, with the NASDAQ AI driven. If you want to ignore the fortunes of 496 companies in the S&P 500 and just focus on the six that are really keeping this whole thing up, then the trade is always there. It's just we're very uncomfortable up at these highs now. We're really quite uncomfortable, and we get increasingly more uncomfortable as prices continue higher. So what goes up will come down. It's just a case of when and what the catalyst will be, and how much more upside are we going to get? These are the questions we're kind of asking ourselves every day. So is there an opportunity to buy all-time highs? We're not too comfortable with it. I know a few of you feel differently, which is absolutely fine. And as long as it continues to, obviously that would have been the trade of choice really, is to buy all-time highs on a repeated basis. That would have been the most profitable sort of set of decision-making, but unfortunately we're not really able to do it. The Dow Jones, it's in a really tough space. Really, it's just been doing nothing really for the last few weeks, so nothing just yet. The Nikkei is an interesting one. Yesterday, I'll show you. Should I say towards the end of last week, we started to see a little bit of weakness. It looks like we've kind of resumed. Really, we've not really weakened. So when we look at the Nikkei, I would suggest there might be a little technical sort of pullback, really, with further weakening in the yen. I'm not so sure anymore now. So you've got these significant highs just today, really. We just bounced off those highs. So these are the markets where we might get a little bit of joy. We'd be concerned about closing the gap like we saw in the euro dollar. We haven't been able to do that yet. So we closed up here, we've rallied down. So will we get to close that gap and then roll over to the downside? That's the one thing we need to be just careful of with the CAC. So let's put down to the potential for a sell trade. We just need to be careful of this gap because we prefer to see the gap close before we rally lower. But the 76.42. $76.42 there for the CAC. The German DAX, we've kind of rallied quite aggressively. Just want to share this with you. So we've got this sort of widening range. It's kind of a potential bear flag type dynamic, but it's just a bit on the messy side. And certainly a bit of a sell opportunity potentially as well. If we do get a reaction from the euro and the European equities, our bias would just be at this point lower. So let's see Friday's low, which is the 18,419. So 18,419, and that's the DAX. So we had a bit of a negative view of the DAX last week, but we just saw this really strong rally. So as a result, it meant we needed to just sit in our hands a little bit. But as you always get with this type of rally, is that you often get opportunities to sell at higher prices, which is fundamentally what you're trying to do. You want to sell at the highest possible price you can. You want to buy at the lowest possible price you can, and then you'll benefit from that price move. So we've closed the gap now. Unfortunately, this market is looking quite strong. Would we like to buy the euro? Not really. We'd prefer to sell it. So we've got the 107.98. Just call it the 108. And that's the euro. So below the 108, we'd be looking to pull the trigger. And that would mean attempt to make a new high, which fails. We'd gap lower, we'd close the gap. And then that would be a proper rollover as far as the euro dollar is concerned. Just see if there's anything else, anywhere else. We're going to get some policy updates from the new Labour government. They've been specifically tight-lipped about kind of what they will do. And we've got this sort of tight range in here. So the 127.86, 127.86. So these are just a few potential opportunities to try and exploit. The yen is just a basket case with the potential for the BOJ intervening. So this is the overextended pullback that we saw last week and the week before. And last few days, we've just started to show further weakness. I'd like to say our bias is to the downside, but we're looking for some dollar strength against the euro and the pound. So we might just kind of focus on that. Dollar CAD in a strong sideways moving pattern. And towards the end of last week, we saw a bit of a rally in the Aussie dollar and the New Zealand dollar. Off the lows for the New Zealand dollar. Just far too many like more questions than answers. So more questions than answers as this price just is pretty range bound. Okay, so look, we've got a few trades that we can look at. We can identify. The last two is just crude oil and gold. So this is an opportunity for us to start selling below the 82.50. We'll put that level in. We're just a little bit below now, so we'll have a look at that now when we switch rooms. And then gold. Political uncertainty, we'd expect gold to, I think it's worth looking at below today's daily low, which is the 23.76. So we just think the overall sort of backdrop is just a little bit weaker than perhaps it should be, or perhaps that it is. Yeah, everything is ranging. Could be a slight rollover on silver. Yeah, we'd probably expect silver to follow suit, Sam, with gold. So if we do get further weakness in gold, you'd probably see the same thing play out as far as silver's concerned. So, yeah, and again, it's all that sort of uncertainty for these markets as well. So what we have is our trade plan. Let's just post those details up on screen. And we'll have a look at silver very... I don't know if you can join us in a minute, Sam, but if you can, we'll have a look at silver in a little bit more detail, if that's okay. Okay, so welcome back, everyone. Good morning. So we kind of have this mild risk-on dynamic just purely off the back of last week, but we're looking for that kind of rollover. So mild risk-on, I think, is fair. We're seeing a bit of an upside across the bond markets, and we've got sort of quite broad mixed market conditions. As we await, which, you know, we saw the US non-farm payroll numbers, the unemployment rate come in higher, but the non-farm employment change number actually, again, exceeding expectations. So a really strong jobs market, even though the unemployment rate is going up. So difficult. So we wanted to keep all options open because prices were really moving in the opposite direction to what we would expect. So look, we've got a bit of so we're looking to sell below the 76.42. We've got the DAX looking to sell below. These are all specific prices now: 18,419, 18,419. Yeah, let's keep this going. Still sticking with the euro weakness theme. So euro dollar weakness, looking to sell below the 108. And then we got a bit of weakness for the pound. We're not looking to sell all of these, but we'll certainly maybe sell a few. Perhaps the pound dollar might not be that workable. But look, still looking for a sell below. Now we've rallied higher, so the 127.86. 127.86. Let's keep this going. So, oil, US oil, looking to sell. Whoops. Sorry. Sell below. So the price we're looking to sell US oil is the 82.50. 82.50. And last but not least, we've got gold. So gold and the pound might not, we might not be that quick to pull the trigger on it. 23.76, 23.76. Let's okay, so pretty much this is our trade plan. We've got a variety of, because we were patient last week, we've got a variety of different trades that are presenting themselves. Now, of course, we need to see that rollover in the US indices, sorry, in the European indices and in the dollar. There's no guarantees we'll get that rollover, but if we do, we'll pull the trigger. And this is where we want to have, we want to be at least a little bit clear in terms of what decisions we make. Because with such a very choppy backdrop, you know, you almost ask yourself, do you want to believe what you're hearing? And sometimes your eyes are deceiving you and you're getting conflicting information. Let's go back to basics in terms of trade what we want to trade and for the reasons in which we want to trade it. And we'll see if price action follows suit. And if it does, then we can build a portfolio. We can start to manage trades properly. And if it doesn't, we will unfortunately continue to put up with this really quite choppy market dynamic. But what's important for us as traders is to keep that risk exposure really quite low. All right, then, guys. So listen, on that note, we're going to explain a little bit more when we switch rooms now. So if you can join us for that, brilliant. We'll see you then. In terms of the narratives, we've been in this quite rate pivot dovish narrative for quite some time. We've seen equity markets rally. When in actual fact, you know, the Fed are very comfortable staying higher for longer. So again, there's just conflicting noise really around these market dynamics. And all you're getting is six or seven companies in the US really driving these equity markets to very expensive numbers and levels. And we just got to make a decision whether we want to participate in that particular sort of bubble or not. And we would like to get a corrective move, a bit of a pullback, and then start to buy at lower prices. It's just not giving us those opportunities. So, yeah, so tough market dynamics at the moment, I would suggest. So on that note, we let you go. Sorry, we've just gone on a little bit longer than anticipated, but we'll be back again tomorrow, of course. And we're back in the office space now as well, so we'll be able to broadcast a little bit better. So hopefully you can join us for that. We look forward to seeing you next time. If you are interested in learning how to trade financial markets, you can access one of our discounted live trading and education bundles on our website. Just starts from $59 per calendar month. For more information, just go to thelivetradingroom.com and feel free to connect with us there. Great stuff. On that note, guys, listen, thanks very much for joining us as always. Take care. We'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.